The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now where the message is already in progress.
I feel like preaching. Let me tell you. The Bible says after Paul went to connection class. The Bible says after Paul joined some ministries. The Bible says the Bible said immediately. Something like scales fell from his eyes. So oftentimes we water the word of God down just because persons don't desire to change. The Bible says, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Verse 19, taking food, he was strengthened. Ooh, you want to know why so many folk are weak and nimble in the things of God? They're not getting no food. That's what my granddaddy used to say. He say food. He didn't say food. He say food. He didn't say Christmas. He said crumb. Come on, somebody. And then she didn't say shower. Grandma say shower. Come on here. Grandma didn't say refrigerator. She say cabinator. Come on, y'all. Go talk to me here. So can I tell you? You know why some of us aren't strengthened? Because we don't have no food. We're not getting no spiritual food. We're not diving in the Word of God. The Word of God builds me up. The Word of God helps me. Come on, don't y'all be talking about my country folk here, y'all. Some of y'all got some country folk in your family. Y'all don't say street. Y'all say street. Come on here. Y'all don't say shrimp. Y'all say swimps. Come on here. Y'all got some country folk too. Look, the Bible says for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. But even Paul is a perfect example of what we can look at as it relates to conversion. But let's look at someone else. Luke 22:31. Look, the Bible says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you. This is why I am to evangelize. This is the urgency behind evangelism. Because the devil is trying to kill your loved one. Everybody you know who don't know Jesus Christ, the devil is trying to kill your son. He's trying to kill your daughters. He's trying to kill your grandchildren. The devil trying to kill your spouse. He's trying to kill them, not to take them to the cemetery. He's trying to kill them in such a way that where they spend eternity separated from God. Here Jesus says, Satan is begging me. He's begging me and demanding me that he wants you. My God, that's why y'all to evangelize, because the devil wants people. This is why y'all to share your faith, because the devil wants somebody. Because hell, the Bible says hell was not created for us, but hell have enlarged her borders. The devil was created. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but it keep getting bigger. They keep on knocking out room. They keep on having an addition because hell keep getting larger, because people who never supposed to go there end up going there. But they don't got to make no more room for me. Come on, I can't speak. I can't speak for y'all. Hell don't got to make no more additions for me. Won't be no renovations for hell on my behalf. No, it won't. Satan have demanded. Look at the Bible. Look what Jesus said. Verse 32. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when you have turned again. Look, Peter walking with Jesus. Peter spending time with Jesus. Here, even Peter has to turn again. So you mean to tell me because I'm in the presence of Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in fellowship with Jesus? That there are persons that are around Jesus, but yet because of the devil that is sifting them. We can classify it any way you want. You can classify it with pain, classify it with hurt, classify it with betrayal, classify it as whatever you want to classify. At the end of the day, it's the devil that's trying to pick us off. And look, Jesus said, I pray for you, not that the trial don't come, but I pray for you that when you fail, when you fall, Peter, he says, I want you to turn again. Like so many people won't turn again. This is what we call they're backslidden. There's some folk that used to sit on your road. There's some folk that you used to know, they used to serve with you, and you don't see them anymore because they won't turn again. They won't come back because here they've fallen away. Just a little, the Bible says, just a little folding of the hand. It's just a little bit of ease. It's just a little bit where I'm not going tonight. Just a little bit where I'm just going to go and enjoy myself. It's a little bit of staying. That's why I got to stay on fire for the things of God, because the devil is demanding. He's pulling at my attention. He's pulling and bidding for me because he wants me to get off course and get off track. But Jesus said, I want you to turn again. And when you turn, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brothers. So many people won't evangelize because they feel so bad about the fact that they fail. Man, no mercy. Peter failed. Jesus didn't say, Peter, when you get back up, you don't qualify to tell nobody nothing no more because you fail. No. He said, when you get back up, strengthen your brothers. King James said, when you are converted, convert somebody. Yes, sir. And look at Peter. Peter took it. He took it a step further in the Pentecostal address in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Look at Peter with his bold self. Peter fell. Peter walked away. Peter cussed the lady out. Come on here. Peter went back to fishing. But the Bible says in Acts 3, 19, Peter stood up boldly, said, repent, therefore, and turn back. So Peter turned back. So now that gives him boldness to tell somebody else to turn back. That's why I am to evangelize, because when I fell, he came and got me. Oh my God, this is why I'm an evangelist, because when I fell and when I walked away, I knew better, but I still engaged in something. And now I'm to help somebody else. Peter, when you fail, boy, y'all ain't treating me right tonight. I'm preaching better. I should say this for a Sunday morning, boy. Y'all looking at me like I'm giving y'all a little hickory dickory dock. This some good stuff right here. I'm going to buy my own CD. Yes, sir. Can I tell you, Peter, turn back. Look, he said, that your sins may be blotted out. This is what Peter told those religious folk, the same ones that killed Jesus, the same ones he was running from, the same ones he was hiding from. God had granted him such a boldness. That's what I speak over this church, a holy boldness, that where we'll be able to speak and declare the wonderful works of God. I'm praying for some boldness for us to get out of our cell and be able to tell somebody. But you know what? It's on the screen. It's really hard for the unconverted to convert. It's really hard for the unconverted to convert. If I'm not in right relationship with God, it's real hard for me to pull you into a right relationship with God. Peter didn't start trying to convert folk until he got himself converted. Maybe this is why my evangelism effort isn't working. Maybe because folk looking at my life trying to say, well, dog, look at all that stuff you're doing. Now you trying to tell me about it? You go to church every Sunday? You trying to invite me to church? All that stuff you be doing? Come on, I ain't finna name no stuff. You just going on fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Let me keep on going. Amen. Amen likes. That's what the old preachers say. Amen likes. Amen walls. Look at that. Look at Romans. Romans 6. Let's keep going. Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God, that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the teaching in which you were committed. Woo. Paul says, thanks be to God that you, anybody want to admit, and I got to hurry, anybody want to admit that you once were in bondage? That you once were a slave to sin. But Paul said, because of my obedient heart. This is what conversion is. Conversion is an obedient heart. Conversion is I got convicted by the word, but when I hear the word, my heart wants to match what I'm hearing. My heart wants to get in line with the word of God. And because of this, look what Paul says, to the standard of teaching. It does matter where you go to church. This is why you can't go to St. Mattress. That's why you can't go to house holiness, because you are what you eat. Yes, sir. And if someone waters the word of God down and gives you a word that where it's not pushing you to want to be better, pushing you to want to be your best, pushing you to want to honor God and to present your body as a living sacrifice, that's exactly what you're going to be. But when I come, Paul, that's what Paul said. Look at it. It's on the screen. Paul says, I want you to live to the standard of the teaching. My God, I want you to live what's the standard of teaching around here, truth and love, that where we ought to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, connect this church to the community. What is the standard of teaching around here, that where we're committed to pleasing the Lord, we're committed to evangelism, we're committed to holistic living, we're committed to youth empowerment, we're committed to discovering purpose, we're committed to excellence and humility and love. That's what the standard of teaching is around here. You get all this word, all this teaching, all these handouts, when you gonna level up? Well, I'm preaching it here. The word of God is foundational in evangelism. Paul says, Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, hearing through the word of God. So here, I am to hear the word. This is what the word is. The word, the player in evangelism, the role that the word plays in evangelism, it is key. It's foundational because the word tells me something. It tells me something. I have to know something, not facts. Not just facts, not just knowledge, but I do need to know something. Here, look at this. The word of God is the foundation of evangelism because a person's faculties are also involved, which includes our intellect. The Bible says, I'm to love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, strength. And so many of us want to just love God with our heart and we leave our mind in the car. No. We got to love God with our entire being. No, we just can't just come and flop down and say, all right, tell me something. All right, encourage me. All right, give me a word now. And you just come in here fit for some dirt and 9 feet. Come on here, somebody. Here, can I say, no, you cannot come. I told you, one lady dropped dead in the church one time, dropped dead, and they called the ambulance. Lady literally died in the service. They called the ambulance, and they took out, Brother Gerald, they took out 20 people before they got to the real dead person. Come on here, somebody. That church was so dead. Y'all go help me. That church was so dead. They took out 20 people before they got to the real dead. So I can't come in here warmed over all dog. No, I got to come and say, God, speak to me, God. Tell me something. Look, evangelism is the word of God. I have to have my intellect. What am I saying? When I'm presenting the gospel to someone, I'm trying to put something in their heart and in their mind. What am I trying to put in their mind? Right here, 1 Corinthians 15:1. It's going to make sense to you in a second. Look what Paul said. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. Somebody said the gospel. But look what Paul says. I preach to you which you received, in which you stand. Verse 2, he says, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, here it is. For I delivered to you of first importance that what I also received. Paul said, I give you what God gave me. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Verse 4. That he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scripture. That, my friend, is the gospel. That Jesus died for my sins. He rose on the third day. Come on here. And he's coming back for me. That is the gospel. A person can't be saved if they don't know this. You got to know something. You don't got to know how thick the cross was. You don't got to know how. You don't know what kind of wood the cross was made out of. Come on here. You don't got to know what. You don't got to know what kind of sandals Jesus wore. Come on here. You don't got to know what kind of boat Noah had. Come on here. We get hung up in the weeds on all these old facts and all this stuff. What about this and what about that and what about this? And I'm telling you once and telling me twice and all this. Okay, I need to know that Christ died for me. He rose for me, and he's coming back for me. That's what I need to know, and that's what I need to give. That's so simple. I'm not trying to preach to you so much. I'm trying to really give you fuel to go preach to somebody else. And this is what you ought to do on your job. You don't got to know everything. But just know Jesus died for you. Jesus died. He rose for you, and he's coming. He's coming back for you. I must have some knowledge in Jesus, in him. Look what Jesus said right before the most famous scripture in all the Bible. Look what he says in John 3:15. Many of us know John 3:16. Look at John 3:15. Jesus said that whoever believes in him, speaking of himself, whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus may have what? So eternal life is not found in me just knowing scriptures. Eternal life is found in me knowing him. God, that's good right there. Eternal life is not me mentally ascending to something or knowing something. I need to know a person. Look what Jesus said to those religious folk. John 5:39. He said, you search the scripture because you think that in them, in the scripture, in the word, in them you have eternal life. And it is that they bear witness about me. Jesus said, you search the scripture, you search the word, and you think searching the scripture and searching the word, you're going to find eternal life. He said, but the scripture testify about me. Verse 40, Jesus said, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Listen, y'all. I'm trying to equip you for evangelism, because whenever it is you're asking someone about their personal relationship with Jesus, the moment they tell you that their first response is what church they go to, they probably not saved. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. And I'm not telling you something I read in the manual somewhere. I'm telling you what I know. You talking to somebody about their relationship with Jesus, and they tell you about when they were baptized, they probably not say, amen lights. If you're talking to somebody about their personal relationship with Jesus, and they tell you they've been saved since they were two, they've been saved since they were six, they've been saved since they were all that stuff, they probably are not saved. Because listen to me, all those things are good things, but all those things are not the main thing. Because I'm a member of a church, I should be a member of a church, but that doesn't make me saved. Because I'm baptized, I should be baptized, but that don't make me saved. Because I've been in church since I was 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years old, that don't make me saved. But no, I need to have a knowledge of him. That's what it's a knowledge of Jesus. Give me verse 39 again so I can make my point. Jesus said, you search the scriptures and you think that in them you have eternal life because you join the church, because the scriptures say you ought to, because you get baptized, because the scriptures say you ought to, because you give the preacher your hand and the Lord your heart. No, my friend, it is not about what, it's not about all the Christian stuff that Christians do. He said, but as the scripture is revealing to me, Jesus said the Bible is pointing to me. Jesus said from Genesis to Malachi, it was pointing towards me. And from Matthew to Revelation, it's pointing back to me. Yes, sir. Hell, I just said something good. Genesis to Revelation pointing to him, and Revelation through Matthew pointing back to him. The scripture testifies of Jesus. Verse 40, yet you refuse to come to me, he says, that you may have eternal life. So how do I bring a person to saving faith with Jesus Christ? I got to roll, y'all. Look what he says in Romans 10:8. This is how it happens. He said, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. What does that mean? When I'm presenting the word of God to someone, and the word of God convicts them and has them on the verge of conversion, that's what's going to bring about the conversion. It's the word of God which we preach. And what do I need to do from there? Verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not just confess that you believe in Jesus, is he Lord? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what salvation, what am I telling you? Salvation is in Jesus, not in things I do externally. Salvation is in Jesus. So the word of God is foundation. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm just kind of boring y'all to death. Lord have mercy. Get on my wall, man. Look, the word of God is foundation of evangelism, because it constructs for us the Roman road. And this is worth the price of admission right here. This is worth the price of admission, because you can stay right in the book of Romans and you can lead someone to Jesus. My prayer is that someone will get the boldness to say that I want to win somebody to the Lord. I want to win one soul. Come on, who want to be bold with me? Who want to be tenacious with me to declare and say, you want to win one soul? Let me see your hand if you want to win one soul. I'm not saying you got to win one every day. Not saying you got to win one once a quarter. Not saying you got to win one once a month. But can you win, before you take your last breath, can you win one? Can you win one? Yeah, you can win one. You can win one. You want to know how you can win one? If you just will take the time to grab these scriptures called the Roman road. Pastor Colbert didn't make this up. This is something that folk been teaching and preaching for years, way before folk way smarter than me came up with this Roman road. And you can stay right here in the book of Romans, memorize these scriptures, and you can lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. It's very simple. What does the Roman road do? The word of God is foundation of evangelism. Give 5 minutes. We're going to be out of here. The word of God is foundation of evangelism because it reveals to us our need. Our need. Romans tells me this. Romans 3:23. Say Romans 3:23. It tells me my need for him. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, we have a need. Our need is we're in sin. Our need is we missed the mark. Our need, everybody has missed the mark. And we live beneath what God expects. So if I meet God and I miss the mark, if I meet God and I'm living beneath what he requires, it's going to be some trouble, trouble, trouble. It's going to be some trouble. But the Bible reveals to me my need. And it goes further. The word of God is the foundation of evangelism because it reveals to us our penalty. I got to pay the piper. Look, it's right here. Romans might say Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The price for me sinning is death. Not Restylane, not Edgewood. That's not the death. No, death meaning spiritual death. Death meaning eternally separated from God. So what I would tell a person, I say, man, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I messed up just like everybody. I messed up. I've done this. I've done that. I've done that. And man, I realized that one day that I got to pay for my sins. I got to realize one day that the Bible said the wage of sin is death. I got to pay the piper for my sin. But why do I have to pay for my own sin when Jesus already paid for them for me? This is the joy of the gospel that he's already paid for my sins. I don't have to pay for them. He has already paid for them for me. That's what it says. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we got sin. We got a problem. But here God has done something with the problem. Because the word of God is the foundation of evangelism. Because it reveals to us God's provision. I got a sin problem. The wages of sin is death. I got to do something with my sin. But God has already given me provision. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's provision. That when I was still on my way to hell and enjoying the trip, Jesus died for me. That I don't have to, I don't have to pay for my sin. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He took on all of our sins. He bore all of our grief. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. And this is the provision that God has made. And this is what I'm going to tell people. I'm going to tell people that God has made a way for you. You don't have to die in your sins. But no, if you die in Christ, you'll meet God in peace. Yes, sir. Let me tell you what else. The word of God is the foundation of evangelism because it reveals to us how to respond. How to respond. I'm just going to reiterate a verse of scripture I've already given to you. How to respond. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth. Don't let people tell you, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it when I get home. I'm going to do it in the privacy of my own house. I'm going to do it. No. Because can I tell you that I got to confess it. And the thing, when I confess it with my mouth, it activates my faith. I'm saying out publicly what God has done on the inside. I know you can slip your hand up. I know you can do it in the privacy of your home. But no, God has me talking to you right now because he wants you to publicly confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and he's your God and God has raised him from that. You have the a person has to know this. This is where our intellect comes in. Is this making sense, y'all? I don't know. God wants me to know something. I know that Jesus died for me. And he rose again. Let me give you this. The word of God is foundation of evangelism because the person's faculties are involved, in which includes our emotions. our emotions. I don't receive Jesus Christ based off emotionalism. No, but my emotions do play a part. 2 Corinthians 7:9, as it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved. Paul said, I'm not happy that you felt bad, but because you were grieved into repenting. See, as I said earlier, conviction with no conversion, me just feeling bad. But Paul said, I'm glad that you felt bad because it made you repent. For you felt godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. Verse 10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So it is something about emotion. It is something about a person who comes and they want to come down front, want to come to the altar, and they come to get saved, and they stand at the altar like this. And you like, do you want to receive Jesus? Yeah. Do you want to invite him in your heart? She made me come up here. Come on. What am I saying? No. But it is something about a person, not emotionalism. Don't mess me up. Now, don't get me twisted. Don't get it twisted. Not about emotionalism. But it does say something about a person that's broken and they're crying and they're broken. They're saying, oh, God, help me. God, do that. Come. Can I tell you? It speaks to something in emotion because that person has a realization that something has happened. Now, let me clean that up, because just because the person shake, rattle, and roll, that don't mean they're right in their heart. You got somebody that can turn the club up and tear the chairs up and do all this kind of stuff, and they